Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. My name is Carla Cornel-Valledo. I studied a few months ago my PhD in Chile, and I'm concluding a research visit here under the supervision of Marcio and Eric. And my idea today is to present some of my research work related to strong land logging and to present ALMA proposal I've been working on recently.
Sorry.
Why you change from this slide?
No, no. I just was trying to remove this window. And you can do it. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. So gravitational lensing is the bending of light of the distant sources as it passes through the gravitational potential of foreground object called the lens. And throughout this presentation, I will focus on the lensing of background galaxies by a massive foreground galaxy cluster. And in the case of cluster lenses, a lot of work has been done from the lensing mass maps and multi-wavelength analysis to constrain galaxy cluster physics and dark matter properties. Cluster lensing can also give hints on galaxy evolution and also on the distant universe. As the lenses behave as cosmic telescopes, they allow us to observe distant sources, to study in great detail highly magnified galaxies as at intermediate redshift, and also to study lensing transients. You have a nice example of the supernova red star here. And gravitational lensing can also be used to constrain cosmological parameters as it is sensitive to the geometry of the universe itself. There are many applications of cluster lensing, however, to exploit it fully, as the mass distribution of the lenses need to be modeled with high accuracy and precision. Before presenting my work, I will briefly introduce, recall some of the key concepts of the lensing formalism. So gravitational lensing formalism is based on the lens equation, which relates the angular position of the source and the image to the gradients of the so-called gravitational potential. Lensing potential, which is described here. It involves the projecting Newtonian potential of the lens, and all the distances in the system are angular diameter distances. So the mapping between the unlens coordinates to the lens coordinates can be described by the amplification matrix. This matrix can be rewritten in a form where we introduce the convergence kappa that describes the magnification of the image and the complex shear gamma, which corresponds to the stretching. The convergence and the shear are derived from the gravitational lensing potential. And I will talk later about the shear when I will present some of the lens models. I have learned the use of the software Lens 2, starting with a very simple model. This cluster core shows a very notable strong handling signatures, a giant arc of 14 arc seconds with 5 multiple images. I started to work on this cluster under the supervision of Guillaume Mahler and Mathilde Josac from Durham University. And during my stay here, Marceau helped me to improve this model. So my idea is to present you a little bit methodology we follow in order to map the mass distribution of this cluster. So the first step is to identify the cluster member galaxies. For this purpose, we use the dual mode of the software source extractor. We need a point source classification on every of our HST filters. And it allows us to identify the galaxies. From these galaxies, we plot a galaxy color magnitude diagram, and the cluster member and galaxies are part of the red sequence, which here has a width between 0.1 and 0.2 magnitude in the color dimension. And so we selected these cluster member candidates. We plot the resulting catalog on our HST images using the PeliScript for DS9. And we did a visual selection. It consisted in just selecting the cluster member that are covered by every HTC filters. And after this visual selection was done, around 70 cluster members were taken into the, including in the lensing potential. And in the central region of the galaxy clusters, the geometry of the multiple image systems and the distribution of the cluster numbers provide information on the priors for the matter distribution. This is why it is more accurate to use the so-called parametric models, which are described by physical quantities and allow direct interpretation of the results. Lens 2, the software we use, takes three input files. The first is the one containing the multiple images, which were identified from their color and morphology in the HST images. We have a new data cube of the inner core of this cluster, and it was reduced by David Lagatuta from Durham University, and we managed to identify the redshift of the giant arc close to 1.5. However, we didn't identify the redshift of the two other systems, but Lens 2 can estimate them. So the second file is the pod file, which contains all the cluster numbers I mentioned. In a strong lens model, the matter distribution is typically decomposed into cluster scale and galaxy scale halos. And in practice, the galaxy scale halos are described by a pseudo isothermal ellipsoid mass distribution, in which the three parameters are the velocity dispersion, core radius, and the cutoff radius. All these quantities are related to the galaxy luminosity, and L star is the luminosity of the typical luminosity of a galaxy at the cluster redshift. Here, this is a cluster redshift identified. The last file is the one that contains our model, and in every in our models, all the halos are described by a dual pseudo isothermal ellipsoid mass distribution. And throughout this study, we use a flat lambda CDM cosmology, and we follow the methodology of Limousin et al. 2022, where the position of the dark matter halos are constrained to the presence of an optical counterpart, so typically at least one bright elliptical or a group of galaxies. We tried successively different lens models with lens 2. So here you have just like the simplest one with only one dark matter halo for the cluster potential and all the cluster numbers. The PDF of all the three parameters are sampled using the Monte Carlo Markov chain method implemented in lens 2. And what we can see here, so it shows the degeneracies between the three parameters. And here we can see that the dark matter halo is moving a lot in this model. So we can see it's like centered here. The ellipticity of the dark matter halo is pretty high. Well, we cannot read it very well, but it's pretty high. What you can see, yes, I told you there is two redshifts we don't know. And here, however, we put some constraint on it in our model, because one system we identify is very close to this one. So we expect to have a redshift between 1.5, so one of the giant arc, and at maximum close to maybe 3. This is a limit we put. And we have another system here. We let this redshift moving between 0 and 5, or 1 and 5. And in the model, we can see that one of the redshifts of this system is very pushed to the limits. And the root mean square between the predicted images, position of the images and the observed one is close to 0.3 arcsecond for this first model. So in this one, the root mean square is a bit worse. However, the model is more close to what we observe, because in the previous one, we can see that the critical line, the white one, that corresponds to the one at the redshift of the arc, does not reproduce the observation. In this one, this is the case, you can see. So this model is better. However, we still have a very, very high ellipticity for the dark matter halo, close to, here it's 0.9. So we didn't understand why this ellipticity is so high. So we tried to search for other data in other wavelengths for this cluster, to understand if it could be maybe a neighboring cluster or other a turbulence, any turbulence I could explain this electricity. And actually, we are lucky because there are a lot of very rich data sets for this cluster. So in the background, you can see dark energy survey images, which have a field of view much, much larger than Hubble. So green window shows you some Hubble field of view we have. In red, this is a mass map from the previous lensing model. And in blue, you can see X-ray contour. And what is very interesting is that the X-ray emission peak is shift from 22 arc seconds from the BCG, the core of the cluster. And also we have some yellow contour are from NIRCAT observation, so it's radio observation. And we actually, a study was done. This cluster is part of a sample of NIRCAT cluster for which the dynamical state has been studied by in the master thesis of Denis Chapin-Pillet. And there is two relics. This is a filamentary relics that arise from synchrotron emission with a very low surface brightness. And what they explain in this thesis is that the presence of a double system of relics is a signature of a past merger event. So all of this, also because we have inhomogeneities in the distribution of galaxies, we can see it's hard to see with all the contour, but we have a filament here of galaxies. And all of these are the signature of very high, highly disturbed environments with a lot of turbulence. And this could explain why we have ellipticity so high in the dark matter halo in our models. So we carry out the same study of some dark energy survey images with using the source extractor. And when we plot the galaxy color magnitude diagram, what is interesting in this case is that we can see like maybe two red sequences, like two structures, depending on the diagram we plot. Here, when we use this filter, we have some Balmer break here on that. And here we plot also the color magnitude diagram we have from HST. And in this case, it corresponds to the second sequence. Really. So we think it might be, maybe there is a presence of two clusters. And so in order to better investigate this, what we can do is use HyperZ in order to estimate on large scale the photometric redshift in the dark energy survey images. So it will be nice because maybe we will be able, when we study the distribution in the photometric redshift, to see if there is indeed or not different cluster involved. And maybe it could be also very nice with this to try a multi-plane model, so with different lenses at different redshifts. Also, I didn't mention it, but this galaxy is a type 2 AGN behind the cluster, close to redshift 0.8. And maybe we can also, we do not expect it to have a big impact on the model, because we don't see many multiple images like here for this galaxy. However, maybe it could be interesting also to include it when we try multi-lens modeling, just to see if we can reduce a bit the RMSI and to see when we include a larger number of galaxies in the 0.5, if we can also reduce the electricity and see how it evolves the model. We can see much better here the filaments I was talking about. So this is the future work that we want to do on this cluster. And now I will briefly introduce you the two ALMA proposals I submitted 1 month ago. So ALMA, the Atacama Large Millimeter Array, is based in Chile, in the desert. So this is currently the world's largest radio telescope with 66 antennas of 12 and 7 meters. And since it has been seen its works 10 years ago, almost 3,000 publications have been done. And in cycle 10, you can see that there is almost 1,700 proposals that have been submitted. So this is pretty challenging to obtain time for serving time with Alma. And we can do a lot of very nice science. You can see here, for instance, which is very nice. So the high resolution of subarc seconds and its very high sensitivity, it makes ALMA a very nice instrument to study the molecular gas and the dust in the galaxies or protoplanetary disk. And in, when you observe in submillimeter, which is nice, you don't have, it depends on what your line will target, but usually you don't have any emission from the lens. So it allows you to study the source without any contamination. The first proposal we submitted is related to the cluster I show you. So we want to study the star formation in the giant arc and take advantage of the strong lensing to study it. We predict that the magnification combined with the submillimeter imaging of ALMA with a resolution of 0.3 arc second will allow us to resolve the galaxy, so part of the galaxy at a resolution of 1 kiloparsec, down to 1 kiloparsec. So this is the source reconstruction of this galaxy. It has been done by Guillaume Malat, and when I come back to Chile, he will teach me how to do it. And why we wanted to target this giant arc is notably because we identify his redshift with the O2 doublet, which is a signature of star forming, of ongoing star formation activity. We estimate the CO fluxes based on a study of Dagieta 2015 with similar disk galaxies, clumpy galaxies. Yes. This is the area where we expect to have a magnification factor higher than 10. And this is where we will be able to go down to 1 kiloparsec for the resolution. And our strategy was to target the CO21 line. Here you can see in this plot, this is the molecular coverage. You can see that at the redshift of the target, you can get two lines, the CO10, the CO21. CO10 line is the best one. However, it is very consuming in time. You can spend like days on the source, so it's very hard to convince people to give you time when you are requesting days. But for this one, it's only 52 minutes on source we need in order to get this line. And yes, if you compare with the redshift of the lens, we do not have any emission. You can see here band 3, band 1. And it's the same for the AGN I mentioned. Its redshift is close to here, and we don't have any contamination. So this is another proposal we submitted. So this one is not is related to the work I did during my master. I did my master internship in Chile, where I'm doing my PhD. And this we observed with ALMA an unexpected system of multiple images, and we didn't expect to observe it. It is located close to the BCG of the bullet cluster, which is a very nice cluster to test modified theory of gravity theories and also to study dark matter. And this system, so my work was to try to explore the Einstein-Young hypothesis. And here, what we want to do, it's we are not targeting a specific line. We want to conduct spectroscopic analysis using the ALMA spectral scan mode. So here is also a molecular scan coverage. This is very typical in radio astronomy, this kind of plot. And you can see every line is the evolution of a molecular frequency as a function of the redshift. Every color corresponds to a different line. And what is our strategy here? Because we want to know what is this object, if it is a lens galaxy, or if it is emission that comes from the BCG, this bright elliptical. In order to get the redshift, our strategy is to pollute this CAD, because here, if the emission comes from the BCG, we expect to absorb the CO5 to 4 line. And if it is indeed a lens galaxy, the model predicted a redshift close to 0.5. We have this range of redshift to get the CO6 to 5 line. So I know this is a very huge constraint, if you see here. So indeed, we didn't really have the choice, because if we want to have a wider scan, we have to set, we are limited by a number of 5 tunings, which correspond to 29 gigahertz. And if we wanted to do a larger scan, in order, for instance, to try to catch also a redshift of 0.4 to 0.6, we will have to request much, much more time, and it will be very hard to convince the people, especially because we are requesting time for very small objects. And also in our strategy, we choose an angular resolution of a range between 0.3 and 0.4. Here, in this observation of this object, the resolution of ALMA was 0.08 arcsecond. So it was a very nice angular resolution, but here, we just want a redshift, so we just need a peak. We don't need to resolve the images. And if we request only like an angular resolution range of this one, 0.3 to 0.5, we will have much signal, because the images will be combined, but also we will have access to many more configuration. You see on my array, you have 8 different configurations scheduled in different months. And if we have different configuration, it would be better, because we have more chances to have to get our observations. And also because here we are requesting a scan in ALMA band 8, and the higher frequency bands are the most challenging one to carry out observation, because they request very nice weather conditions. So if we request, if we have access to different configuration and different dates, it was part of the strategy, it would be much more easy to get the observations. So there are three scenarii, depending on what would be the result of these observations. So if we are able to confirm the Bjerknes hypothesis, it would be very nice. We'll be able to publish a work done during my internship. And also, it will be the first Einstein ring of the bullet cluster, very close to the BCG. So it will be a very important constraint for the entire model of the cluster. If it comes from the BCG, it will be also very interesting, because BCG are very bright elliptical, among the most massive galaxies in the universe. And their formation history are still very highly debated. So if we, from the CO5 to 4 line, we'll be able to estimate the molecular gas mass of the BCG, its star formation rate, conduct velocity dispersion analysis, and also we could combine this information with the continuum we have in band 3, band 6, to have a very a comprehensive data set of this object. From the CO line, we find out we can study the molecular gas, and from the continuum, we target the dust. And if none of these hypotheses are confirmed, we can still have many molecular lines from a very little studied region of the bullet cluster. But we won't do anything with this, it will be for other people. And yes, I show you many plots like this one. So these plots are very useful when you want to prepare observation with ALMA. And I am working on the, it's not really a software, it's just a Python general user interface. In order to, I work a lot with Jupyter notebooks, and I wanted to find a way to do it in an automatic way. So I am working on this little program. And my goal is just to be able to prepare quickly many figures in order when I want to prepare the feasibility of radio observation, and also to do nice figure for the proposal, for maybe for papers. And I would like to try to complexify my figures. And I recently find another Python library close to Metpotly called Seaborn, which is very nice. So I will see what I can do with this. And also, I would like in the future to add some, how to say, to allow the user to directly interact with this window. For instance, directly moving with your mouse or this window and things like this to be able to do this plot very quickly, very fast. And also, I would like to add a spectral mode, just in order, because in radio it's not that easy to find the line when you study a spectra. So just like a software that will plot the line depending on the redshift you will give and identify very quickly the line. You have many databases to do this, but it takes a lot of time. So just in order to do it more quickly. And when I will get back to Chile, yes, I talk about many different things and projects, because actually in Chile, we do not really have a precise subject of thesis. It's not like in France. We construct during the first year of PhD, the thesis. And my thesis project will be related to the study of planets galaxies with Palma. In particular, they have new data of this object. This is a sub-millimeter galaxy in the Bullet Cluster with very high magnification. The gradient goes up to 50. And in this new data, we expect to have an image here. It's another field of view. So my work will consist in reducing and conduct the analysis of this data, which have a much higher angular resolution. So we will be able to conduct the same analysis of this galaxy, but with a much higher resolution. And also, if you remember the little object I was talking, close to the BCG of the bullet is just here. So if we are able to, I mean, if we can confirm it is an inch diameter, in addition to these images, we will be able to give a very, to improve a lot the existing model, the lens model of the bullet cluster, especially because in this very dense region, we do not have a lot of multiple images. In addition to this project, well, if we are lucky enough to get the ALMA observation for the two proposal, it would be also a nice project we could add to this PhD thesis. And my supervisor told me she was talking about, she has a colleague that wants me to reduce some VLA data of quasar he has. And VLA, so the very large arrays in Mexico, and the pipeline is to reduce the data, you use also CASA, like for ALMA. So they were discussing if I can also do it for them or not. Okay, so my PhD thesis will be related to observational research with a lot of ALMA data reduction analysis, extragalactic physics, study of the distant universe, and probably also a lot of strong lens modeling, especially for this one, because the direct, the work I will do when I come back to Chile will be related to the lens model that is currently in process of updating. And I will work also with another colleague of my supervisor, Thomas Verdugo. Yes, so there are many people I would like to thank. My main PhD supervisor, Professor Veronica Mota, also my two supervisors here, Marceau and Eric. We started this project in South Africa, and this is a high-res project that allows me to that helped me for the financial support. I worked on Meerkat data, and also this is where I was in contact with Guillaume and Mathilde to start all this work on the cluster I presented you. And so I have learned a lot. In Lensol, I have still a lot to learn, but it will be like a lot of nice science to do in the future. And okay, thank you for your attention.
Anyone have any questions here?
Yes, I do. Okay. Maybe I go in first because it will be stupid. So at some point you speak about the proposal, and then I don't really understand like There is either you confirm the hypothesis of an HTML or you talk about like the physics of the BCD, right?
Yes, yeah.
So I don't really understand what it's like.
Okay, okay. I was with Eric. What did you say?
I think I don't
know. Oh, I'm sorry.
Because where is the ring exactly? When you say, because I guess you're looking at the cluster and there is the ring near the BCG?
Yes. Actually, they were studying the galaxy I show you here. My two PhD supervisors were studying this galaxy.
Okay.
And in this data, what they observe, it's not plotted here on this image, they observe also radio emission here.
Okay.
But it was in the continuum, so we don't have any line, we don't have any redshift. And yes, it was not very clear when I say it. And it's very close to the BCG. However, it is a little bit shift from the BCG. It's like a little bit shift in the direction of the
so galaxies. So you don't know if it's in fall or if it's orange.
Yes, we don't know if it is from the BCG. But I mean, if it is from this galaxy, it would be a little bit strange to have such emission because it is, first, it is a bit shift from this galaxy, and we did the astrometry with 9 stars. And also because it is not typical to have like this kind of dust from an elliptical.
Mm-hmm.
It's more common from a spiral galaxy, for instance. Yes, so the two, why we wanted to do a spectral scan, only ALMA detected this signal, so only ALMA can get this redshift. And so the strategy was to select a specific scan that would allow us in the same time to get the CO line from at the redshift of the cluster, in case so we can confirm it is from the BCG or from the expected, the predicted redshift in the model.
Okay.
In my internship, I did modeling with lens model.
Mm-hmm.
But here, when I started to learn lens tool, I tried for the proposal with lens tool, and it was in correlation, it was the same line also,
okay.
With two different software. So.
Okay, thank you.
Someone else has a question? Hi.
For the cluster where you have two J0159,
mm-hmm.
When you show the color, the magnitude diagram,
this one.
So this is in the DES field, so probably you have also the red mapper cluster catalog. That is available to check.
Okay,
And they provide you also, well, you will see if there is one or two detection in this field. And it will give you an estimated redshift based on this. Because here, from this color magnitude diagram, you can infer the redshift of the,
okay, I don't know.
The cluster.
Okay.
So this is done in the RedMapper catalog.
I want to discuss with Rosel Pio, and she told me what we can try to do is to, when the image are aligned, when the dark energy survey and HST, is to prepare a specific file, she told me, and she will teach me how to use IPRZ just to get some distribution of photometric logic to see if we can infer something, if we have different.
Ah, because so, you combine the HST and DES photometric.
Yes, but the problem is, I align them, but the problem is that, you know, you cannot run source extractor when you have different image size. It doesn't want to run. So I have this problem to fix, and then I can do together.
Because in DES, I think there are some photometric patches there.
Well, if I can say something, because I hear my name, about the Hyper-Z capability, is the important thing is that there is a cluster membership determination also produced by Hyper-Z when you specify the redshift of the cluster. So this could be interesting in this case. And then you can calibrate this probability given by Hyper-Z based on the spectroscopic sample that is also available. This was the idea. This is not only any set fitting code can do the job, but this was to take into account that the fact that this code also produces a cluster membership based on set fitting.
In the bullet cluster, do you have news data of the center?
There are a lot of news data, but only for the subcluster, not the main cluster.
Because this, you could also check if there is a cooling flow in the center with a lot of O2 emission.
You aim to do any cosmology with this?
I'm not doing any cosmology in my concern, so I don't know. Maybe in the future. To be honest, I don't have a precise idea of my thesis right now, because I'm just starting it. But... And she has another PhD student, and I believe she will do some cosmology. Yeah. Yeah,
I think Rosa wanted to add something else. Did you want to add something, Rosa?
No, I think I said, I just made this comment about hyper-Z capabilities for cluster membership determination, that's all.
Okay.
Just to explain why I suggested to do that.
Okay. Can I ask a very naive question? Why did you say that the source has no detection with ALMA? Is it because it's so low redshift that you cannot have any observation in the subregion?
Actually, I didn't use the good word. Actually, with in the Meerkat Galaxy Cluster Legacy Survey, so you have also another radio telescope in South Africa that observes the bullet cluster. And it is very interesting. The data are public because close to this galaxies, you have a very, very broad emission.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's impossible to say where it comes from because of the angular resolution, which is like 8 arc seconds. But with ALMA, you can reach very, very small arc angular resolution. And as it is 0.08, we are able to precisely locate this emission and also to resolve that it is like a signal with an emission with different components, with four peaks in this case. So we assume that every peak is multicolor.
Okay. Thanks. Does any Mathilde, Zoom questions? No? Okay. If there is no more questions, we can thank the speaker again. Thanks. Carlo, do you have an announcement?
No announcement for next week with the conference. We'll not have any Kafka Club.
Oh, that's a good announcement.
Maybe in 2 weeks.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.